This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to top people and ideas, presented by U-Mobile.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutan, and on the Breakfast Grill today, we have His Excellency Cristiano Majipinto, Ambassador of Italy to Malaysia. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you for inviting me.
Your Excellency, of course, your country's had an election very recently, and what we are interested to understand is the conversations that Italians are having, the minds of Italians, both in the run-up to the elections, as also in the consequences of the elections, which are now being dubbed by the media as inconclusive. It's an election that took the incumbent government out of power, the Democratic Party, and now looks to two new parties, so-called anti-establishment parties, Lega Nord and the Five Star Movement, as the possible core of the next government. Could you help us understand the Italian election process? Italy, of course, well known for having had many governments since the World War, since the end of World War II, so over 60 governments, it's said. Is that a sign of instability? Is that a sign of democracy?
You know, there is in Italy a constitutional process which is established by the Italian constitution and by the Italian law, according to which after the election is the President of the Republic who chooses and appoints the Prime Minister. So what will happen now after the election is, first of all, that the two chambers, the Chamber of Deputies as the Senate, has to meet, and if I'm not for the first time, they have to be installed. The new chambers needs to be installed, and this will happen, if I don't remember wrong, on the 23rd of March. After that, the President of the Republic will consult all the political groups. He will hold meetings with all the Italian political groups who have been voted during the elections, and based on this consultation and these meetings, he will appoint one of the Italian politicians with the task to form the new government. The one who is appointed by the President of the Republic will consult the different political parties, because the Italian system is made in such a way that if you want to form a government, you need the confidence of both chambers of parliament.
So that seems, in many ways, something that would be familiar to Malaysia, though we
yes.
haven't had a change of government
yeah.
Since independence, unlike your country. But I want to ask you, because what observers have noted, both from the business community as well as from political observers, is the rise of these two parties that are often called anti-establishment parties. But they also note that the Democratic Party, while they lost, could have, in fact, enough seats to form the next government if they go enter into a coalition. Now, a coalition's typical of Italian politics, governments formed with coalitions.
So far, in general, as you noticed, Italian governments have been coalition governments, because they have been normally the result of negotiations and talks between the different political parties, and it is probable that it will be the same this year. As I told you, that will be a consultation between the different political parties with the aim to form a government which obtains the confidence of the parliament. And this is the the natural democratic process in Italy, the one which has always worked so far.
Now, you know, when we characterize those two parties, the League, as it's referred to in English, or Liga Nord, and the Five Star Movement, as anti-establishment parties, they're not exactly similar in terms of their platforms. In fact, some observers say that if those two parties come together and form a government, it would be a coalition of chaos. Now, I think for observers, you know, especially economists, they are concerned about the impact of such a coalition on the economy and therefore also on the larger Eurozone. I think that is the concern. Could you explain to us something of the background to this? Because we had the outgoing Prime Minister Matteo Renzi, his centre-left party and coalition attempting to institute reforms, but failing to do so. There was a referendum. Could you take us back to the referendum and tell us a little bit about that? What was at stake with the referendum and why it failed?
You know, the Italy has had, of course, has suffered very much because of the economic crisis of 2008 and 2009. And the country, from many different points of view, and especially from the point of view of economy, needed many reforms. And the last government has always been committed to elaborate and to enforce these reforms. We have had, for example, a reform of the labor market, the so-called Jobs Act, which has created new jobs in Italy. As you know, the unemployment rate in Italy is still quite high, but for example, in the first 6 months, these are the figures that we have so far of 2017, Italy has added 150,000 new jobs. So from this point of view, the situation is improving. It's not yet optimal, not at all, but it is improving. Another important reform that the last government and the previous governments have made is the reforms necessary in order to limit the general deficit of the state, which, as you know, in Italy is quite high. It is around, I think, 125% of GDP, and to limit the budget deficit, to a spending review, which is a review of the spending of all the public administration, and of course there have been reform in order to boost investments and to boost productivity, because this is what the country needs, and we are now seeing some of the results of this long-awaited reform, because Italy has started, Italian economy has started to grow again in
you
the
know,
last years.
Very interesting you point this, because the question of whether the incoming government will have a negative impact on these reforms, as you mentioned, and we'll come back to this later, the question of debt to GDP, I believe stands at, the numbers I have, is 133%, with only Greece, Japan and Lebanon having higher ratios globally. Now, the interesting thing, if you could help us understand, the Liga Nord is in the northern half of the country, seen to be rich. It favors a flat rate taxes and such. In the south, you have the rise of the Five Star Movement. It captured largely the south, promising, I think, minimum wage and also large spending. Now, these two parts, these two political parties, could form a coalition, but they would be at loggerheads, as it were, because very, very different demographics there. I could help us understand the regional disparities, because what seems to be fairly interesting about the South has very Very stark differences in terms of its its situation. The South economy apparently shrank 7.2% between 2001 and 2016, while Italy's output grew some 1% over the same period. So moving in a very different direction. Unemployment in the South stands at about 18% versus 6.6% in the North, with youth unemployment at 46.6%, more than double the level at the top of the country. Could you help us understand how these regional disparities occur within one country within the Eurozone?
Regional disparities in Italy are a consequence of Italian history, in the sense that the difference in economic development between northern Italy and southern Italy is something which was already there in 1861 when Italy became a unified country. So there are reasons which goes back decades and centuries, so much that the so-called problem of Mezzogiorno, being Mezzogiorno, midday, the south of Italy, because of the climate of the of southern Italy, different from the climate of northern Italy, has been one of the problems that has always characterized Italian politics since unification. This, of course, is still true today, in the sense that there is still a disparity between northern region and southern region, and northern regions grow faster than southern regions. But luckily, in the last few years, there are good signs of a restarting of economic growth also in southern in southern Italian region. In the most part of the Italian governments, there has always been, and there is a ministry which is or a department which is dedicated to the development of southern, specifically to the development of southern Italy and to the problems of southern Italy.
But, sir, can I interrupt you at this point? Will people in the North be willing to pay? I mean, say the Liga North and the Five Star Movement come together in a coalition government. Will they be willing to foot the bill for development in the South that the Five Star Movement is promising and has pledged to southern voters?
No, I, of course, cannot talk for the Italian political parties, and this will be an object of one of the issues of the negotiations and of the that there will be for the formation of the new government and the program of the new government. But what I can say is that always in Italian politics, so far the governments have tried to pursue a balanced development of the country, because a balanced and general development of all the country is beneficial to everybody.
Before we end and move on to the question of the economy, I just want one last political question for you, Your Excellency. The question of coalitions. We had Angela Merkel in Germany, spent many months trying to cobble together a coalition. She seems to have succeeded after quite a number of months. We are told, observers say about European politics, it's very precise in Germany. There's contracts and they sign off on everything. It's not so in Italy. That when coalitions come together in Italy, it's a much more mysterious brew. Could you explain to us how stable and how precise and exact coalition building in Italy is?
You know, it's for sure a different process between Italy and Germany. But so far, I have to say, you mentioned the fact that Italy has had in its history more than 60 governments, which is true. From 1945 on, we have had more than 60 governments. But so said, if you consider Italian international position, for example, Italian international position has been very characterized by a high level of stability. And Italian politics at the end has always been characterized by high level of stability. At the international level, as you know, we have certain guiding principle that we have always followed in the last 70 years since the Second World War. So, in spite of the difference of of processes and the difference of rule, of course, because which are determined by the history of the two countries and so on. At the end, this has not infringed on the substantial stability of the country, which is considered both at the international level, at the level of the European Union, at the level of NATO, and so on, one of the most reliable and stable country in any case.
I'm speaking to His Excellency Cristiano Maggi Pinto, Ambassador of Italy to Malaysia. Next up, we look at the challenges facing Italy in the 21st century. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
Good morning. If you just joined us, I'm Sharad Kutan, and our guest today on The Breakfast Grill is His Excellency Cristiano Maggi Pinto, Ambassador of Italy to Malaysia. We're going to continue with a look at the consequences of the weekend before, and the elections there, the 4th of March, I believe. We're looking at a report by Deutsche Bank, its annual long-term asset return study, which was out, I believe, in the late part of 2017, looked at the potential causes of the next financial crisis. Now, candidates for this financial crisis include Chinese slowdown, the Brexit, as well as the question of central bank policy. But it also looked at Italy as posing a threat to the Eurozone and the financial. It looked at populist uprising, huge debt burden, a weakened banking system, and a generally weak economy. Because Italy is one of the larger economies of Europe. Could you please explain to us, from your government's point of view, an analysis like this, is it damaging for you? And also, how do you see issues like institutional weakness contributing to crisis in Europe, potentially?
What we can say is that when we look at the facts of Italian economy and the most recent facts of Italian economy, the outlook is much more positive than this kind of analysis tend to state. Just to give you some figures, Italian economy last year has grown 1.5%, which of course, I can understand that if you compare it to the 5.9% of growth of Malaysian economy in the same year is not that much, but if you compare it with the other developed country, is an improvement on the Italian performance of the previous years. You mentioned the crisis of the Italian banking system. It's true, there has been a crisis of the Italian banking system, but the government has taken measures in order to overcome this crisis, and we think that this crisis is now behind us. The two banks which were in a bitter crisis, the Monte dei Paschi di Siena and the Veneto Banca, have been the object of important reform measures by the government, and we think that now this crisis is behind. As I was telling before, the situation unemployment is improving. We are adding jobs. There is another sign which is important in my opinion, and it is foreign investments in Italy. In 2017, foreign investments in Italy have been $29 billion, and in 2016-19, so there has been a big improvement in foreign investment, and this is a sign of I would say of trust of international companies, of international markets in Italy. So from this point of view, the situation is improving. You mentioned also the budget deficit. Also from that point of view, the government has taken measures, and in the last budget, Italian budget law, which was approved at the end of the year, we think that the budget deficit will be reduced by the end of 2018 at 2.1%, which will reduce also the general deficit. So there is a program of, I would say, to go back to a more sound financial situation. This is a worrying of the Italian government, and we are operating in order to reach these results.
Yeah, in fact, I think observers will agree with you. At least with the government of Matteo Renzi, the idea of a sustainable public finances, there seemed to be a commitment on his part of his party. The question is that true of the two large winners in the game recently? Also, Your Excellency, I want to point out this very interesting. You talked about the debt situation. You talked about the question of institutional reform for the banking system. What observers are also noting that the European Central Bank's or ECB's aggressive quantitative easing program provided substantial assistance to stabilizing the situation in Italy. However, the ECB is now looking to wind up its quantitative easing, and it's going to be tapering down. I mean, bond purchases are going to go from 60 billion to 40 billion euros a month. Does the Italian government expect this is going to have a negative impact on your public finances?
I think that the Italian government has taken already so far enough measures in order to take this into account, and you have to think that this was already considered, because we have always known that at a certain point the central bank would have been winding down the program of buying of bonds, which has supported the Italian economy and all the other economies in the Eurozone so far. And all the measures that I was mentioning before, structural reforms of Italian economy, had exactly the aim and have exactly the aim to make the country stable from the economic point of view on a structural level, so that also the winding down of this kind of measure does not have any consequence on the country. So we are confident on this.
Okay, coming from an Asian perspective, from a Malaysian perspective, look at the European story. Italy seems to fit into that. There are themes of rising populism. There have been pushbacks in that. There's this anti-immigrant sentiment as well. But very importantly, is the way in which Europe works. And there's always this story, or a specter that, in fact, Europe is going to break up. The Eurozone is in crisis, and there's something that's going to, the straw that's going to break the camel's back. Now, if the incoming government of Italy decides to go on a huge spending spree and its partners in Europe say no, what happens then?
This is something that we cannot say, because I cannot make any comments on something with the which is future, in the sense that we need to see what the program of the new government will be. What I can say is that everybody in Italy is aware of the problems that the country is facing, is aware of the necessity to deal with these problems, and of the necessity to put Italian economy on an ever more stable and productive base, which has been the task of all the past governments. So I think that this path will continue in order to guarantee the stability and I would say the ever growing Italian economy for the benefit of everybody.
Very quickly, Your Excellency, are Italians tired of the European Union? Are they like Britons who voted for Brexit? Are they getting to the point where they will say they want to leave the Union?
I don't know the polls about Italians, what they think. I just say that the European Union has greatly benefited Italy. So far, Italy is a reliable member of the European Union, and this is considered. This has been considered by everybody. This has been, I would say, one of the features, as I was saying before, of Italian foreign politics in the last more than 6 years. Because, as you know, the first base of the Union was in 1951, when six countries decided to put together some of their resources, coal especially, which was one of the most important resources. This has been a feature of Italian politics, and Italy is a reliable member of the Union.
Thank you very much for joining us this morning. I've been speaking to His Excellency Cristiano Magipinto, Ambassador of Italy to Malaysia. This has been The Breakfast Grill. I'm Sharad Kutin on BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
That episode of BFM Breakfast Grill was brought to you by U Mobile, where data hearts you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.